Ajnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupagadamayam Dadhati Svapadantikam Jayasi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukam karoti vacha lam pangum langayate girim yat kripadam aham vande sri guru dinotaranam paramananda maravam si chaitanyeshwaram vanchakalpatrubhyascha kripasindubhyaivacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna. Welcome everybody again. Thank you all for coming to this holy place, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir. Today we will discuss the pastime of Krishna killing Agasura. Now, some of you might ask yourself, you know, I come to temple and I hear about killing of snakes and killing of, you know, demons. And what is this? Why these type of descriptions? Why these type of activities? In Bhagavad Gita it is explained why the Lord appears here in this world. Yada yada hi dharmasya bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham pritranaya sadunam vinasya chaduskritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. That the Lord appears time and time again in order to do three things. What are those three things? Paritranaya sadhunam. First of all, he comes for his devotees. Because for him, that's the most important thing. To protect his devotees. Because the material world is a dangerous place. Have you noticed that material world is a dangerous place? Just going to job, you can lose your life every day. And you know that. Everybody's risking their lives, just going to job or going to school. It's a dangerous world. Padam padam yadvi padam natesham. Every step you take, you're not sure if there's going to be another step. So Krishna comes to protect his devotees, including his small devotees. So, and vinasha jaduskritam. There is some duskritis. There is always some inimical people. Some people who are against, who want to cause harm and trouble to the devotees. So Krishna takes care of them also. And dharma samstapanartaya, to establish the principles of dharma, of religion. These are the three main reasons why the Lord appears. And in the next shloka, 4.9, Krishna says, janma karma chame divyam evang yoveti tattattaha taktvadeham punarjanma naiti mam eti sor juna. He tells Arjuna, if you know the truth about my divine activities, what happens? Na punarjanma, no more birth in this world. So if we don't want to take birth again in this mature world, if we don't want to again come here in order to experience all this anxiety of janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, dukkha, dosha, nudarshanam, birth, death, old age and disease, that are very prevalent. If we do not want to experience this again, then what should we do? We should learn about the Lord's transcendental activities in truth. So Krishna, he has appeared in his original form, Svayam Bhagavan, the original manifestation, the highest, the fullest of all opulences in Vrindavan. And He has come in order to fulfill His proclamation, His desires. And He's doing that in a very playful, in a very sweet, in a very enchanting way. So one day, once upon a time, in Vrindavan, Krishna awoke and he was just 5 years old. Small boy. 5 years. And he had the desire to have a picnic in the forest. Now this is the first time that he ever did this. Because when he was younger, he would just go out for a few hours, look after the calves, then come home to have his lunch. But this was the first day where he decided, no, today we're going to play all day in the forest and we will bring our lunch. So he was very excited. Have you ever been to a school trip? You know, your first school trip? You're very excited, right? Because you bring your food and you stay out and you play all day. So, in the morning, Krishna takes his buffalo horn and he awakes all his coward boyfriends. And all the gopas, all the coward boys, they awake. And they know Krishna's calling. We have to get ready. So very quickly they get dressed and they get ornamented by their mothers, but they don't pay much attention because they're already out there in the pasture with Krishna. So Krishna and the coward boys, they take the calves out to the forests for pasture. And there is unlimited numbers of coward boys and unlimited numbers of calves. It is explained in the Bhagavatam, Ashanka. Ashanka means a 1 with 17 zeros. That's how many coward boys, that's how many calves were there. So, they moved into the forest of Vrindavan, keeping the calves ahead of them. And as they got into the forest of Vrindavan, they became very excited. Because for a young boy, to get into the forest is a very exciting thing. Because in the forest, there is so many things you can do. And there is so many wonderful opportunities for playing. But first of all, they took some minerals and colors from the earth and they started painting themselves and adorning themselves. They started taking twigs and fruits and flowers and putting them into their turbans and putting them on each other. So they started to look very, very colorful. And they were playing their games. What kind of games were they playing? All kinds of games. They were playing hide and go seek. They were stealing each other's lunch bags and throwing them to somebody else. And then that boy whose lunch bag was stolen, he would run to that boy and he would throw it to someone else. And he would run there and the bag was flying all over till the boy started crying. And then they gave it back to him. They started picking up fruits and different things from the trees and throwing them around or using them with bats. So all the sports, all the playfulness, all the mischief, everything originates in Krishna. Everything we see in this world is simply a perverted reflection of the original pastimes of Krishna. Now the boys would have gone on playing all day because for them there is no perception of time and place. But at the same time, they're supposed to eat their lunch. So by the inconceivable potency of the Supreme Lord, one demon appeared. And he appeared in the form of a gigantic snake. Aghasura. Now you have to know that demons are not people with ferocious teeth and red hair and big claws. But demons are people who are very envious. They're very mischievous. Especially they don't like it when they see other people having a good time. They get very disturbed by that. So Agasura, he was a friend of Kamsa, and he was the younger brother of Bakasura and of Putana. So his older brother and older sister had already been killed by Krishna, and he was very anxious to kill Krishna. And as he saw the coward boys playing gleefully, he became very envious at heart. It pained him to see them in so much happiness. So in a very impatient way, he changed his form to a big serpent. Now you have to know, demons, they are shape shifters. You know what a shape shifter is? You know the Transformers? You heard of the Transformers? They can transform their form into any shape they want at will. Now we know from the Bhagavatam, sometimes demons appeared as coward boys. They took the disguise. Sometimes they appeared as calves. Sometimes they appeared as nurses. So many different types of forms they took. This one, Agasura, he took the form of an 8-mile-long serpent. Now, 8 miles is quite long. It's a big serpent. You can imagine if the serpent is 8 miles long, how thick, how wide is his body. And he was simply laying in the pasture of Vrindavan, and he was holding his mouth up, and his upper lip was touching the clouds. So big was his mouth. And his teeth looked like boulders, like mountain boulders. And the entry of his mouth looked like a huge mountain cave. So he was simply lying there in the pasture. And his plan was to swallow Krishna and the coward boys and the calves, because he wanted to devour all of them in order to avenge the death of his older brother and sister. He thought that when Krishna is dead, then with his blood, I can offer pinda. I can offer oblations for my departed brother and sister. So, with this plan in mind, he lay there. And he laid for a long time, because the coward boys were simply happily playing their own games. But at one point, some of them became attentive of this new type of phenomena that they saw. And they became very thrilled. They thought, we have never seen this before, but it looks very exciting. And we should go there. Because that is the nature of young boys. Whatever looks new and exciting, they want to try it out. So, some of them thought, no, this doesn't look right. We have never seen this before. And something is wrong here. Plus, there's this hot air coming, blowing out of this thing. And it smells very bad. Like burnt flesh and fish. Like very rotten kind of flavor. So, but the others, there's always some in the group who are more courageous. They said, let's go. I'm going to have some fun. Even if it is a big demon who is ready to devour us, Krishna will save us. Because Krishna, he can do anything. So, in great jubilation and great enthusiasm, they marched into Agasura, keeping their calves in front of them. So they all marched in. Agasura waited, and he kept his mouth open because Krishna was still outside. Krishna was looking at the whole scenario, and Krishna became a little bit puzzled because he was thinking, I want to play with my friends. And how come that their desire is stronger and it overpowers my desire? And how come that my lila shakti, my potency for playful pastimes, is overpowering my own agenda of what I want to do? And he became overwhelmed by Karuna Ras, by the moved by the merciful affection of compassion. And he knew that they would perish. So he followed them into the mouth of Agasura. Now, Aga was very happy, and he closed his mouth. And all the demigods who were watching, now you have to know that the demigods had been observing Agasura for a long time, because they were afraid of this fellow. Even though they were ruling Svarga, they had so much power and potency, materially speaking, because they were relying on their own strength. They were always fearful. What if somebody comes and is more powerful than me? What if somebody will jeopardize my enjoyment? So they were watching Agasura and they were very afraid of him. So when he swallowed Krishna and the coward boys, there was a big turmoil. There was a lot of noise. They became in a lot of anxiety. But then Krishna, he expanded himself in the mouth, in the throat of Agasura. And he became big. He became gigantic. He became so big that Agasura choked. And his eyeballs were popping out. And Krishna, he took on such a huge size that Agasura's soul shooting out from his forehead. And he gave up his life. And a mouth open, and Krishna, he very mercifully glanced upon his coward boyfriends and the calves and brought them back to life. And they all walked out of the big servant. Sri Krishna Bhagavan ki. And they continued their play. And Agasura stayed there as a tourist attraction. You know, like when people come to South Mumbai, you walk around, they ask you, what is the sights here? And you say, you know, Gateway of India and Elephanta Caves and, you know, Hanging Gardens. And then there is Agasura also, you know, you can go see. You can go play there. It's big fun, you know. It looks like a big serpent, but don't be afraid, you know. Krishna already finished. It's already, you know, it's dead. But it's good fun to play. The Acharyas explain that because Agasura, even though he was a demon, at one point he felt some affection in his heart for Krishna. He actually felt some affection. He actually felt, oh, you know, what a nice person, and he saw him like that. And because Krishna had played in his body for such a long time, he not only, because the soul shot out and then he entered Krishna's body, but he did not achieve impersonal liberation, but actually he got Sarupya Mukti. He got the same bodily feature as the Lord. Because Krishna spent so much time in his body. That's why he was so merciful that Krishna not only gave him liberation, but he gave him the same bodily form like his own. That is the magnanimity, that is the mercifulness of Krishna. Now these coward boys, who are they? They're fearless. They're not afraid. They're not even aware that Krishna is God. They just think, he's my friend. And he's the most funny. He's the most powerful. He's the most intelligent. He's the most mischievous of all of us. Krita punya punjaha. They were so fortunate. They were so absorbed in Krishna's pastimes, in his sweetness, that they forgot about his great position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, Agasura, he represents envy. All these demons, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, represent certain qualities that are very prevalent here in this material world. And that's why it's important that we study these pastimes. Envy is a quality that is quite predominant. In the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when the inhabitants of Jambudvip, they offer prayers, Is it Jambudvip? Kalau Prasidatam? Who offers that prayer? That prayer by Prahlad Maharaj. Which planet? Somebody can look it up. 589. And Prabhupada, in the translation, word for word, he translates envious, and then in brackets, almost everyone. Bracket closed. Now, what hope is there for me? We might think. Envy is explained as the inability to tolerate the eminence of somebody else. In other words, if you see somebody who is rich, who is powerful, who is beautiful, who is intelligent, who has achieved, and you feel envy in your heart, you feel, why him? Why her? Why not me? That means that we are envious. Now, before we can administer the medicine, we have to study and analyze and understand what are the symptoms of the disease. Since this is a disease that is quite prevalent and it is afflicting most living entities in this world, it is important for us to understand that. It is stated in the second chapter of the first canto, Srinvata Sakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridyantakstohi Abhadrani Vidunoti Suritsatam, that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma Supersoul in the heart of all living entities, when he sees that a living entity is actually engaged in hearing and chanting about the transcendental name, form, and pastimes of himself, of Krishna, then what does he do? He eradicates the bad qualities in their heart. Now, almost everyone, that may include some of us too. And we'll speak about that more in a minute. So we may ask ourselves, okay, so what is the hope for me? Has it ever happened to you that you saw somebody who was more intelligent, who was more strong, who was more beautiful, who was more accomplished than you, and you felt a little bit of envy in your heart? Has this ever happened to you? Now, I don't hear too many people screaming yes, but a few are nodding their heads. Okay, you're very elevated souls. But sometimes we have to take it in the negative way. If I'm not able to appreciate somebody, it means I'm envious of that person. Because if I would actually be non-envious, I would be able to appreciate that person. And I could say, Krishna's potency, his vibhutis, are manifested in this person. And I could actually appreciate and praise and glorify that person. But if envy is there present in my heart, then I can't do that. And I will find out that little mistake, that little fault. Just like here, Agasura. Everything was perfect. Krishna was playing with his coward boyfriends in the forest of Vrindavan. It was perfect. But he found out that one mistake. What was that mistake? Oh, he killed my brother and my sister. Oh, they were demons. Never mind, She came to kill him. Okay, we forget about that, My brother came to eat him and to, Never mind about that. But that's the mistake. So, envy is a very terrible quality because it really ruins. It really spoils the soup. Like there's some things, like if you put too much salt into something, it's kind of, disastrous. So, it really spoils a person's quality. Therefore, it is important that as aspiring Vaishnavas, we introspect and we try to analyze, we try to see, what is this envy? How does it come about? Where does it come from? And what can I do to counteract it? Now, it is explained that envy comes because of too much sense enjoyment. When we indulge our senses to an extreme degree, then what happens is we develop a competitive mood. Confirmed. A competitive mood, not just with other living entities, but a competitive mood with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And whenever we see somebody else excelling, somebody else enjoying, somebody else having a good time, something in our heart cringes and it becomes very disturbed. And we try to bring them down. We try to diminish them by words, by action. This is the attitude, the mentality of a terrorist. And in this day and age, we're quite aware of people who are intolerant and who are very disturbed when they see other people just living their lives. And they make active plans how to harm them. Even to the extent of risking their own lives. Okay, I'm ready to blow myself up if I can kill a few people. Or they want to harm other people in so many ways. Chop people's heads off. Nothing new under the sun. Agasura just wanted to eat Krishna and all his coward boyfriends. So this is the demoniac mentality, the mentality of rakshasas that are very fond of eating other living entities. That's why a Vaishnava is careful that they only engage their senses they satisfy their senses just for the minimum bare survival, just for keeping body and soul together. But they're using their senses. Vishavini vartante niraharasya dehina rasovarjam rasopyasya param drishtvani vartate. They're using their senses in the service of the master of the senses. And in this way, the poisonous fangs, the poisonous teeth of the snake, they get cut. And in this way, the snake is not harmful, is not dangerous anymore. Now, we know that our senses, our working senses, our active senses, are always searching out for sense objects. That is the nature of the senses. But if we connect them in Krishna's devotional service, then that tendency to be harmful, to eject poison of envy, will become curbed. Now, a snake without poisonous fangs is not dangerous anymore. So if we engage our senses in the service of the master of the senses, then they become peaceful, they become calm, and they become quite friendly. Now Narada Muni, one time he had a disciple, very interesting disciple. The disciple was a cobra. Narada Muni, he's a unique personality. He has unique types of disciples. So one of his disciples was a cobra. So the cobra, when he started up practicing bhakti, he heard from his guru, okay, don't bite people, okay, don't harm anybody, don't kill anybody, just be a nice guy. But after a while, he realized that nobody was respecting him. Kids were throwing stones, people were coming with sticks and chasing him. So he thought, this is not very good, this bhakti, I become really a nice guy, but nice guys don't last in Bombay, So, what do I do now? So he went back to Guru and asked Guru, this is my situation. Have you ever been in this situation? He said, I practiced bhakti, I became such a nice guy, and now everybody's taking advantage of me? This is not very good. So Narad Muni told him that it's okay, you can show your hood, but don't bite. So in the same way, a devotee sometimes may have to stand his or her ground and make a point, but don't bite. Because we should not waste our energy, we should not waste our efforts in a way that is not very productive. Now, you're all very attentive today because we're speaking about Krishna's pastimes. But for those of you who are getting eaten by the serpent of sleep, we will just put in a little side story here. This is a little intermission. We were in Uzbekistan, in the city of Samarkand. It's just over the Himalayas, next to Kazakhstan. And there's still Nagas there. There are still people who can shapeshift. They can change between snake and human form. So one boy, he just got married and everything was going fine. But he had these strange feelings sometimes that his wife, she had this strange look sometimes when she looked at him, you know, like the eyes kind of changed and the inner part of the eyes started taking on a different shape. So he was a little puzzled. So one time he heard very strange noises from the bathroom. His wife was bathing, so he went to check and he saw a big black serpent. So he got very scared, you know, his wife was not there, big black serpent was there taking bath. So this is just to capture your attention, okay? We get back to Krishna in a moment, you know. This is permissible. So he went to a sage and asked him what to do. The sage said, you know, this is in our land, this is common knowledge, this can happen, you know, that sometimes people are not really people, they're actually snakes, but they take on the form of humans. So what you do is, you get on a horse with your wife, and you ride out to the desert, and when you're in the middle of the desert, you throw her off the horse, and you go as fast as possible, and you don't look back. Okay. And that's what he did. And I don't know what happened after that, but one time there was a snake in Haridas Thakur's cave. Haridas Thakur, he was living in caves and chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But he was not alone in that cave. There was a big serpent also living in that cave. And that serpent was so poisonous that its fumes were kind of giving very bad odor. So the people who came to visit the Thakur, they got very disturbed. They thought, this is not very hygienic, this is not very wholesome, you know, this is not good. You should find a different place of residence. Basically, they were disturbed. Haridas Thakur was not disturbed. But because he saw that they were agitated, so he said, okay, by tomorrow, I will find another place to stay. And just as he was making up his mind, at that moment, in everybody's eyes, view, a big, huge black serpent with yellow stripes and a jewel on the head was just sliding out and disappeared into the forest. So the snake, Krishna is in the heart of every living entity, decided, okay, if you want to stay here, I don't want to inconvenience you, you stay, I go. It is stated, Vrishchikaraka sambhuta vishapaharanam param brahmarakshasayakshanam durotsaranakaranam. When you worship Krishna, you don't have to be afraid of snakes or scorpions or vampires or dragons or werewolves or all these shapeshifters, all these different personalities. Because simply by remembering Krishna and Krishna's holy name, all these living entities will go far away. They cannot stay where Krishna's holy name is present. Therefore, it is so important that we always immerse ourselves in the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Now you see, in former times, demons and demigods used to live on different planets. Then they used to live on the same planet, then in the same family, now in the same body. So some days we may feel like a devotee. Some days we may be influenced by demoniac tendency and be envious. And whenever we criticize and fall fine and show our envy, our tail is growing. You know, you grow a tail. You become like a serpent. So it's very important to be aware of that and to curb that tendency. And we do so by chanting Krishna's holy name, and by hearing about Krishna's transcendental pastimes. Yatedrante katam rishtas trishnayo prashamo yataha nirvairam ryatra bhuteshu nodvego yatra kaschana. That wherever and whenever Krishna's pastimes are discussed, in that place, at that moment, people become peaceful. They don't fall asleep. They just become peaceful and non-envious. So if I'm afraid of becoming influenced by envy, I should always surround myself with Krishna Katha. In fact, it is explained in the Nectar of Instruction and the Nectar of Devotion that the first quality, the first sign of advancement in spiritual life is eagerness for hearing Krishna Katha. That's why we come to the temple, because we're eager to hear Krishna Katha. We're not eager to hear about so many other things. That is going on. But here, we are interested to hear Krishna Katha. What did Krishna do? What is his activities? What is his pastimes? And how does he interact with his devotees? Krishna is Agabhid. He is the destroyer of all sin. Now in this world, it's very easy to get trapped into some sinful habit. Because it's a very sticky place. Like wherever you touch, it's kind of sticky, you know? You kind of get stuck on things. Did it ever happen to you that you got stuck on something? On some place or on some activity, and it was difficult to get unstuck? Like I remember very clearly, when I was a small child, we used to go to the farms, and after the farmers had harvested, you could go to the field and pick up whatever was left over. Because they used to do by machine. So they would pick like beans by machines, not by hand. So they would go by in a big machine, but there was still a lot of beans lying around that were just being trampled by the tires of the machine. So we would pick those beans and wash them and then, you know, cut them, put them in sachets and then freeze them. So there was a big freezing, cold storage center. And as a kid, it was very exciting that if you put your... Don't do this at home, okay? I'm just telling you, I'm warning you. If you put your skin to something that's frozen, what happens? You get stuck, exactly. And if you push some more and your heat warms it up, you can take it away. But if it's not enough, you may get really stuck. And then if you take it off, your skin rips. So, and you're in trouble. This world is a sticky place. We have sticky notes, we have sticky chewing gum, we have sticky situations, and we have sticky habits. So, as devotees, we should be careful that we don't get into sticky situations where we feel, oh, you know, I'm stuck and I'm too attracted, but at the same time, I can't get away from it. I know it's not good for me, but I should let go of this. So in the same way, envy and speaking in a way that's critical, that's abusive, that's diminishing, slightly contrary, it is very detrimental to spiritual life. Therefore, devotees are very eager to hear Krishna Katha. And by the more we hear Krishna Katha, what happens? All these abhadras, all these unwanted things in the heart, they become slowly, 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 slowly eradicated, practically to nil. So this is the purpose why Srila Prabhupada created this ISKCON society. Today is the 50th Ratha Yatra in San Francisco. Today, just in a few hours, they're already starting preparing. 50 years ago, the first Ratha Yatra happened today in San Francisco. On a small, little, old, beaten-up flatbed truck. That's how it started. And now there is Ratha Yatra practically in all the major cities of the world. Mumbai has how many Ratha Yatras? 5, 7? A lot of Ratha Yatras going on. But it all started in San Francisco, on a little flatbed truck, with small deities. Did they have the big deities already in 67? They had them, Shyamasundar, he carved beautiful Jagannath deities. First they found small deities in a store, and Prabhupada was very happy, and then he asked Shyamasundar to carve them, and he did so. So, those deities are still there, they're in Berkeley now. Now Prabhupada, he was very magnanimous. He was very kind-hearted. He was very compassionate. When he went to check on Shyamasundar, on Jagannath's head, he came to the apartment and he knocked as Shyamasundar was carving the deities. And as he entered the room, on Jagannath's head there was a pack of cigarettes, you know, because Shyamasundara was still smoking. So Prabhupada came and he looked at the deities and he took his cane and he just pushed that pack of cigarettes away from the head. And then he told Shyamasundara, don't let this little thing, this little cigarette come between you and Krishna. Okay, you're still smoking, fine. So what you do is every day you smoke one cigarette less. Shyamasundara told us that he was very afraid, he was very shocked that Prabhupada just abruptly came into the apartment and he found him carving the Lord and still smoking. So he was really feeling bad. But when he saw Prabhupada's compassion, his kindness, his mercy, that he was ready to accommodate him, he understood his situation, he understood his sticky predicament. He said, okay, you just reduce it and then you give it up. The same day, he gave up smoking. So sometimes our envious tendencies, our terroristic tendencies become too strong and we become really fanatical and we become really obsessed with rules and we make it difficult for others and we make it difficult for ourselves. Now it's okay to be strict with oneself, but at the same time we should be kind and accommodating and compassionate with others. When Prabhupada started this movement in America, very so often his hosts were not vegetarian. Very so often the people he was staying with were still smoking. Even in front of Prabhupada. And Prabhupada just said, I think nothing of it. It's okay, you know. It's all right. Don't inconvenience yourself because of me. He was not trying to chastise or to instruct people. Because he knew, I'm the guest, they are the host. Guest has to, you know, just put up with whatever situation he's facing. So, Srila Prabhupada is showing us how, by compassionate, merciful, kind attitude, to win over the heart of others. Now, how do we know whether I'm a devotee or whether I'm a demon? How do I know? If demons are shapeshifters, they can change their form, then, you know, what about him? What about her? What about that one? What about me? How do I know that I'm a devotee? Well, frankly speaking, it can go either way. Vishnu Bhakta Smrto Dhaiva, Asuryas Tad Viparya. It can go either way depending on the activities, the desire, and the association. We know from the stories in the Bhagavatam, Bhaumasura, Krishna's own son. But he got corrupted by bad association. He got spoiled. And he developed demoniac tendencies. So, you cannot see who is a demon or who is a devotee. It's not something that you can see by external, stereotype kind of a vision. Now, how do we know whether we are a devotee or whether we are a demon? The devotees are always engaged in hearing and chanting about Krishna, in glorifying Krishna, and in showing mercy and compassion to other living entities. And the demons, they're envious. They're always opposed. They're always against what the devotees want to do. So I have very simple formula how to find out who is who. Like you want to know who is who, right? Like, okay, who is who? How do you know? I can tell you very clearly, but you have to pay attention. I show you the book and I tell you who you are. You do this. You make this exercise. It's a laboratory experiment. You take Bhagavad Gita and you go up to a person and you say, Hare Krishna. And then you put the book in their hand. And by the reaction, you can see whether there's more demoniac tendency or there is more devotional tendency. It's very easy to see. So, Am I happy when I see other people excel in devotional service? I have to ask myself this question every day, because I am surrounded by people who are more advanced, who are blissfully engaged in devotional service, who are absorbed in Krishna Katha. And I have to introspect and look into my heart and ask myself, am I happy to see their exalted position and quality? If yes, then I can, by their association and mercy, also gain some of those quality by assisting them, by associating with them, and by serving them. But if I have to find faults and criticize and diminish them, then I will be bereft of their association. In fact, I will be making offensive statements and activities towards these devotees. So this is something that we have to be very careful about. It is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Yanna Vrajanti Agabida Rajananuvadach Srinvantiye Nyavishayak Kukata Matigni. Those who hear topics other than the glorification of Agabit, unworthy topics which destroy intelligence, cannot enter Vaikuntha. So, to always be eager to hear about the transcendental activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now one might say, well, how much you want to hear about Krishna? Like, when is this talk going to end and when the next program will start? Well, for those of you who are slightly impatient, the next program is Prasadam, and I believe it starts in 7.5 minutes downstairs. The queue is already growing. Huh? But Krishna Katha is Nityam. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Now, Krishna Katha is something that is ongoing. And we can see how by our engagement in Krishna consciousness, our appetite, our desire to hear Krishna Katha and to speak Krishna Katha will exponentially increase. Initially, our appetite is very little. It's very small. We think, oh, okay, yeah. It's good now. It's enough. It's fine. We can continue now. What's next? What's the next program? But we will actually come to a point where we can hear Krishna Katha Nityam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was constantly hearing Krishna Katha from his associates. He would be in Tota Gopinath in the association of his dear devotee Gadadhar Pandit, who would recite Srimad Bhagavatam. And he would speak the story of Dhruva Maharaj, the story of Prahlad Maharaj, over and over. And when the story was over, he would say, speak it again. And then he would start it again. He'd say, speak it again. Now, like Prahlad, he was thrown by his father, Hiranyakasipu, into a pit of very dangerous, poisonous snakes. But he did not get harmed by those snakes, because he was simply chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it's not that you have to, you know, try this at home and get into a serpent pool, you know, with poisonous snakes to test the efficacy of the mantra. The mantra is powerful, but whether your chanting is pure, that is the question. It's not a question if the mantra is powerful. So, it is explained that if you feed a serpent milk and bananas, it would simply increase its venom and wait for the moment where it can bite and kill you. That's why even saintly people are happy when they see scorpions and snakes killed. Why? Because they harm innocent creatures. But more dangerous than a serpent is an envious person. Because serpents, you can deal with them, you know. You make certain arrangements and you keep them out. There's certain ways how to deal with them. Like yogis, they sit on the deer skin, so insects and serpents don't like deer skin. or with mantras, you can actually appease serpents. That's why we practice our mantra every day. Are you practicing your mantra? In case you meet a serpent, what do? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. And by herbs also. Snakes can be charmed. I know snake charmers, sometimes they use also, they make music, right? They play flute like that. But an envious person, no matter what you do, they will get more and more and more and more angry, more and more envious. So what do? When you meet an envious person, you simply avoid them. By neglect. Prema maitri kripa upeksha. Simply by avoiding them, by neglecting them. In this way, we're actually benefiting them and we're carrying on with our devotional service. So devotee is not interested in opposing demons, in fighting demons, in provoking dangerous situations. It's not that after this class you should go on the street with your Bhagavad Gita and go up to people. And, okay, I want to do the test with you now. Okay, show him the book and... Don't do this. Still, people will be friendly or inimical. That is the way of the world. But we should not be disturbed. We should not be disturbed. We should simply go on with our practice of devotional service. Bhagavad Bhakti Hinasya Jati Shastram Japastapa Apranasya Ivadehasya Mandanam Lokaranjanam. Hari Bhakti Sudodaya says that without Bhagavad Bhakti, without glorification of the Supreme Lord, whatever we have is simply a decoration of a dead body. All the things that we have in this world without bhakti are simply a decoration of a dead body. Now, it doesn't say throw away and give away all your stuff. It says if you acquire Bhagavad Bhakti, your life is meaningful. But if you don't have Bhagavad Bhakti, then even though we may have so many things, but they're simply decorations on a dead body. So devotee is not very much interested to collect different titles and different accolades and different type of insignias in this world. But a devotee is looking to acquire these devotional qualities. These qualities of bhakti. What are they? Titikshava karunika surida sarvadehinam ajata satrava santa sarva sadubhushanaha. Titiksha, tolerance. To be tolerant. It's so easy to become intolerant in this world. Has it ever happened to you that you became slightly intolerant? Like here, Agasura, he became intolerant. He was not able to tolerate these boys are having a good time. Just like our Mridanga players just a moment ago got very enthusiastic. Did you notice? They really got enthusiastic. Now, the Mridanga is supposed to be like the backbone of the kirtan. But what happens when the backbone comes to the front? It's not very healthy, right? It's supposed to be the backbone, not in the front. So, it's so easy to become slightly disturbed. Either it's a little too cold, or it's a little too hot, or it's always just not perfect. Why? Because we're in the material world, and things are just not perfect. Have you ever noticed that some things are not perfect in this world? But when we develop these divine qualities of tolerance, of mercifulness, of compassion, then we can actually overcome these lower qualities. Now there is a second part to the story. And I like to speak about that. Agasura does not only represent envy, Agasura also represents a lack of compassion and an unwillingness to preach Krishna consciousness. Lack of compassion and unwillingness to preach Krishna consciousness. Because when I am on the bodily platform and I want to enjoy myself, I want to be the controller and the enjoyer, naturally my compassion, my patience, my kindness diminishes. Because that's just naturally, it goes detrimental, it's opposite. So, in fact, I don't care about anybody. I'm ready to exploit people, to use people for my own ulterior purposes. I'm ready to kill people. How much violence in this world? Not just a few terrorists blowing up people. But there's hundreds of billions, there's trillions of dollars that are being spent for warfare every year. There's hundreds of billions spent for violent games and movies. And there's hundreds of billions spent for violent lifestyles, which are not sustainable because they're causing pain to others and they're causing pain to themselves. So, as aspiring devotees, we should be aware of these things so we do not get trapped into these sticky situations, in these sticky places, when our mind and our intelligence become slightly clouded and we become confused and we think, yeah, but everybody's doing it. I also have to do this. If you study world history, in the name of nationalism, in the name of populism, the majority always was wrong. In China, in Germany, in Russia, in India, in Africa, in South America, in North America, the majority was always wrong. Which shows that we can't just go by what everybody does. And if they ask you, well, why are you waving the flag? Why are you marching? Why are you doing what you're doing? It's not good enough to say, well, everybody's doing it. It's not good enough. As a Vaishnava, our moral compass should be, what is the Shastra Praman? What is the evidence in Shastra? Where does it say that this is what we're supposed to be doing? Give me the evidence. And if there is no evidence, in fact, if the evidence shows that we should develop tolerance, mercy, compassion, kindness, then that is what we should be doing. So these are some important things to remember in these days of national celebrations and festivities. Because it's easy to get carried away by whichever team wins on that particular day. So, a devotee is dhira, is sober and thoughtful, manishina, and is studying the scriptures to extract these valuable gems, and is making deliberate conscious plans using his body, mind and soul to benefit other living entities. Because if you see people suffering and you have the cure to their suffering, but you're not helping them, then you're also implicated in their trouble. And you will also get reaction. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's stating, pranair arthair dhiyavacha. With our body, our mind, our intelligence, our wealth, we should engage for the benefit of all living entities. In this way, we can actually help people. And we can actually give them this gift of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, if we're unwilling to do so, we will be very unfortunate. Now this unwillingness can come either because of a lack of knowledge, it can come because of a lack of identity or security. It can also come because of laziness, that we simply don't care. We simply think, oh, I'm fine, and that's good enough. But a Vaishnav is a person who actually tries to see, okay. Sarve sukhino bhavantu. Are the other living entities becoming blissful? Kalau prasidatam. Are they becoming pacified? Are they becoming inspired? And what can I do to make that happen? So for the 50th anniversary of ISKCON, of the incorporation of this movement, and we have so many festival days coming up. This week is Balaram Jayanti, Purnima. And we have Julan for the next 5 days. Then Lord Balaram's appearance day, Krishna Jamastami, a week after that. Then Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja, Nanda Utsav. So there's three big festivals, big celebrations coming up. We should ask ourselves today, right now, okay, what am I going to do for these three personalities who have changed my life in a quite tremendous way? What am I ready to do and what am I ready to give up? It can be something small, it can be something big, whatever. Use your imagination. Everybody can do something. If all you can do is smile at everybody and say, Hare Krishna, I wish you a nice day. That's pretty good. Can you do that? You try it out for one day. You just smile at everybody and you say, Hare Krishna. I've been doing this for the last 4 months, walking on Marine Drive. I just walk all the way to the overpass and then back. And everybody who I meet, I just smile at them and I say, Hare Krishna. And if they smile back and say, Hare Rama, then the book comes out. It's that easy. Life is not complicated. You don't have to go and ask Google Guru, okay, what do I do? No, you just read Srimad Bhagavatam. You chant Hare Krishna and you share Hare Krishna. So what do we do? Chant Hare Krishna and share Hare Krishna. Okay. So if somebody grabs you after class downstairs in the queue and asks, what that guy was talking about up there? I missed it. I was in the queue, Queues are also like serpents, I don't like serpents. I don't like queues. So then you say, what did the guy talk up there? He talked about chant Hare Krishna. Very simple. Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. People take one look at you and immediately they will decide, I want to become like you or I want to stay away from you as far as possible. It's a very instant, very momentary decision. Just like when you see a serpent. How long does it take you to make a decision what to do? How long, approximately? 1 second? No, less than a second. I remember exactly when I was camping with my family in Italy, in the pine forests, I walked to my tent and right underneath a tree, there was a huge serpent which was blocking the entire path. And in a split second, in a moment, I jumped in the other direction and I ran away. And that's 42 years ago. And I still remember it. So, what was the point I was trying to make? It's an instantaneous reaction. People will take one look at you and they will decide, yes, I would like to become like you, or no, I want to stay away from you as far as possible. So, how to get Krishna's glance? Krishna glanced at the coward boys and at the calves and he brought them back to life. Kunti Devi is praying in her beautiful prayers. She says, now that all these kings are envious of us and now you want to leave us? We are only prosperous and opulent because you're glancing on us. Because we have your glance, everything is going fine. But now you want to leave us and go to Dwarka. So, better we be in a dangerous situation, but we have your glance. So when you become a devotee, it's not that everything will be fine. It's not that all of a sudden, your income will triple and your problems will become zero. No. But you know, if you have Radha Gopinath's glands, everything becomes quite fine. Now, how do we get their glands? Huh? It's not even easy to see Krishna. But if we regularly come and we have darshan, darshan means we're here reporting to Krishna. We are to be seen. Because how much can I see Krishna? We're here because we want Krishna to see us. And we want to act in such a way that Krishna wants to see us. So when his birthday comes up, and we bring our little gift of whatever it is to Krishna, a leaf, a fruit, a flower, an offering, that Krishna may glance upon us. If we have that glance, that is all we're asking for. Because a glance is all it takes. A glance is everything that's required. And Krishna is ready to shower his benevolent glance on all living entities. That is his most merciful, his most compassionate, and his most kind nature. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yes.
In Srimad Bhagavad Puran and in Hari Vamsha also it is mentioned that Krishna born to Vasudev, the 400th form of Krishna, in Vrindavan it remained the same and it killed the demons, but for the devotees, Shyam Sundar form performed all the pastimes, like we can say Rasalila and all the other pastimes was formed by that form of Krishna, Shyam Sundar form. But all these demons were killed by the Vasudev form, which appeared before Devaki and Vasudev. That was Krishna, so it is correct?
Yes. Thank you. Any other easy questions? I like questions with yes or no answers. Actually, speaking is very easy, you know, you just go with the flow. Any other points? But it is not that we should think, oh, this is Vasudev Krishna and this is, you know, Vrindavan Krishna, Shyama Sundar. Now, how do I understand this? And Krishna is Krishna. Just for a philosophical understanding, it's important. But when you're in the pastime, those differentiations and those technicalities are not entertained. Okay, we have a little kirtan before you're all going for prasadam, because today is Ekadasi and we should chant more. Before or after kirtan?
I think I'll announce first.
Please. Jamastami announcement. Go ahead.
Hare Krishna. Om Ajnananti Mirandasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militamena Tasmai Sri Guruvenam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavan Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. We are very happy about a beautiful class from Prabhuji. So, actually I am taking your 2 minutes. Because you know that we are going to celebrate a great festival, Janmashtami. All of you are knowing about it? So,